Like Dennis said, I'm Aaron Gallagher from the Gospel Broadcasting Network. And this morning we're going to be looking at a report of the work that GBN's been doing. Because you all support GBN, and that's really where GBN, how GBN is able to reach people is because congregations and individuals support GBN. One of the things I like to do is, first of all, to start off and show out, start out and show that this is biblical. Sometimes I'll go places and I know when I was growing up, I would see a missions report during Bible class and I would say, like, are we allowed to do that? Are we? Is that counted? Is that something we can do? But if you look in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 14, at the end of the first missionary journey, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." So after their mission work, they came back, they gathered a church together, and they showed them, hey, this is what the support that you gave us was used for. And so that's what I want to do this morning. So for those of you who don't know much about the Gospel Broadcasting Network, we are in Olive Branch, Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. And this is really what our purpose is, the Great Commission. At the end of each of the Gospels, in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24, we have what we know as the Great Commission. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, He gave instruction to His disciples to go into the whole world, preach the gospel to every nation, every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. And so that's what we try to do at GBN. I break this down for GBN into two. Let's see what you're seeing. Looks like the AirPlay is a little bit behind what my screen is. So there we go. Okay. We'll get there. So GBN, I'm going to talk about really two sections. One of them is edification, and the other one is evangelism. So I think the AirPlay will catch up with the slides. So edification, the word edifice, a building to build up, okay? So one of the things that GBN tries to do is to edify the church. So that would be try to produce resources so that everyone in this room and all the brotherhood can use them to learn, to study, to grow. That's one of the ways I actually learned. I never went to a preaching school. I just watched World Video Bible School, Apologetics Press, GBN, listened to, I joke, I went to the Don Blackwell School of Preaching because I have about 500 of his sermons on my iPhone, and that's what I listened to. When a lot of people listen to music, I used to listen to sermons. And so that's one of the things. The second is evangelism. So we're going to talk about the ways that we're trying to evangelize the world using the internet and social media, etc. So the first way, the first part of edification is production. In South Haven, in Olive Branch, South Haven area, is where we have our studio. So we produce up to about 30 different brotherhood programs. Everything from studies on the Old Testament, the New Testament, to how to study the Bible. Pretty much everything that we think will be applicable for somebody that wants to study more. We also travel and film a lot of live events. This was helpful for me before I went to work at GBN. Because for 10 years I worked in the biotech industry, so I only had a couple weeks of vacation. I didn't have the opportunity to take off a week and go to PTP. So when they went and filmed Polishing the Pulpit or some of the debates, that's the Bart Ehrman, Kyle Butt debate on the bottom left, that's the way I was able to watch those events later was when GBN would record them. We also have a daily devotional. So if anyone wants something in your morning, it comes about 4 or 5 in the morning, and it's very short. It maybe takes 30 seconds to read it. Just a daily devotional, you can sign up on our website for that. So we have quite a few people that we send that out to every day. We also give away CDs and DVDs. You probably, if you ever go to any sort of lectureship that we're at, we have a table. We give those away for free. We normally buy them from World Video Bible School, and then we give them away for free. We do a lot of Bible correspondence courses. With some of the social media stuff, it's pretty wild. I did a video once and said, hey, this is a free Bible study. I don't call it a Bible correspondence course because I didn't know what a Bible correspondence course was until I was in my mid-20s. When I heard BCC, I thought it meant blind carbon copy, like on an email. So I didn't know what that was. So when I'm doing stuff online, I try to use terminology that the average person will understand. But we did a video on Instagram, which I'll talk about later, and said, this is a free Bible study. We'll send it to you in the mail, 100% free, and 80 people sign up in one day. So you can reach a lot of people through your own social media. Some of the things that we'll show later, if you have a Facebook or an Instagram, you can use those for the same sort of purposes as well. Last year we had about 1 million hours streamed online as well. One of the goals that we're trying to do is we're trying to put together a video commentary series on each book of the Bible. I love to read books, but I know a lot of people that don't, and for a large period of my life I didn't. So I would have preferred then to watch a video. And so we're trying to make it so you can watch those at home. Maybe you want to do your personal Bible study. We actually hear from a lot of really small congregations that sometimes they'll use these in class. But this one is, for instance, the book of Romans. Keith Mosier has also done the Gospel of Luke for us. Gary Hampton has done 1 and 2 Corinthians. And then on our app, which I'll show you later, we have quite a few more that aren't in DVD format, but you can access those online. If you have an Apple TV or a Roku at home, we've done a lot of work in the last year to update that so that it's appealing, so that we have a lot of the best programs organized, so that you can use those to study at home. A lot of people are trying to cut the cord now and get away from paying $130 a month for cable. This is something that's free that you can watch at home. And all this stuff also is on YouTube as well. And that's Roku there. We also have a website. Now, all right, way to say this. Websites seem to me to be becoming less and less important as more people are getting a lot of information on social media like Facebook. If you are someone in this local community and you're looking for a church, it's very possible that they'll either Google it and maybe find your website, or they may be looking through and browsing on Facebook and other avenues. But we do still have a website that has a lot of this information. We've been doing a lot of work to try to make the website more accessible too. Okay, so that's the first part. That's edification. The majority of my presentation is going to be on evangelism. That's what I'm passionate about. Of course, I love teaching Bible classes and trying to build up the church. But we need to get the gospel to the lost, to the rest of the lost people in the world. There's 7.7 billion people on earth right now. How are we going to reach them with the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, one of the things GBN does, we try to reach them through broadcasting. Okay, so it seems like a pretty simple term, but broadcasting, all that means is you're putting content out somewhere where people who are not looking for it will find it. Okay, what you all are doing with the radio station, what you're doing with the billboards, that is broadcasting. Okay, because someone's driving down the highway, they might not know anything about this congregation or the churches of Christ. They see your billboard and they say, "Oh, what's that?" And then they turn the radio on. Okay, that's broadcasting. The other side of it is narrowcasting. Like when you have Apple TV and Roku with GBN, that's narrowcasting. Someone's not going to just stumble upon that unless you basically introduce them to it. Okay, so with broadcasting, trying to reach people who don't know what GBN is, we do a few things. We have preaching the gospel. This show, James Watkins started out. Cliff Goodwin is who's doing it now. We have that on Dish Network and DirecTV in about 40 million homes across the U.S. And it airs a few times, I think on, I think I maybe have it up here. Yeah, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern on Dish Network and DirecTV. We also have Counterpoint. Counterpoint and preaching the gospel are really two different approaches. So preaching the gospel, Cliff is directly addressing the camera. And in Counterpoint, it's more, you're more like a fly on the wall. Mike Hickson, who's here on your left, will say, you know, BJ, a lot of churches teach that to be saved, you just have to say a sinner's prayer. You know, what does the Bible say about that? And then BJ will say, well, you know, Mike, a lot of churches do teach that. They get that from this passage, but the truth about it is this. And so he'll give the counterpoint. Okay, so those are really knowledgeable guys. That's one of the best programs that I believe we have. And so that is on Dish Network and DirecTV on a channel called Glory Star. And then we also have it, in addition to that, on a bunch of different smaller stations around the country as well. We also do Facebook Live, GBN Live. So we go live on Facebook about half of the year, and we'll do different topics. This is what it would look like. You can share it. I'm not saying share this. I hate when people are like, please share this. If you don't want to share it, don't share it. But if it is something that you want to share, and you share an episode on salvation or something like that, that's a way that you may be able to reach some people that you're friends with on Facebook or who follow your social media. We've also done a lot of work recently on revamping our YouTube. YouTube is a great way to reach people because, number one, it's free. Okay, so it's free. A lot of things you're trying to reach people cost you a lot of money, right? Well, you can do anything you want for free. You could set your iPhone up in front of your computer and teach a Bible study. And even if you say, well, I'm not good at Bible study, you could type it out and just read it off of your computer screen, put that on your YouTube, and somebody may see that. Okay, so YouTube is a really great avenue. And so we've spent a lot of time updating it. I think we maybe have 3,000 videos on YouTube. We're transitioning now, taking some of the older content that's really good and moving it to a page called GBN Classic. So if you go on our YouTube and you're looking for an older show that you really like and you can't find it, just contact us. It's likely going to be on GBN Classic. The reason we're doing that is because we're trying to keep the newest, for lack of a better way to say it, highest quality video stuff, and all of it's doctrinally sound. Everybody that works at GBN has to fill out a doctrinal questionnaire. But trying to keep the highest video quality stuff in the forefront, reason being, if we have somebody who comes to our page who's not a member of the church, we want them to see the video quality. We don't want that video quality to run them off before they ever even hear the content. Okay, so our YouTube has tons of different videos on there. This is a slide I don't want to stay on too long because it's me on there, but that's me and Don Blackwell. We started a new program called Answering the Error. This program's origin came from somebody sent us a video. It was one of the youth group members, and they said, hey, this video, it was from a denominational church teaching why you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And so the youth group member watched through it and was a little bit confused about how to answer some of the arguments because he'd never heard them before. So he gave them to Don and I, and Don and I, they were arguments that have been around for, I mean, I want to say 100 years. It's longer than that. If you read some of the early Christians, there's a man named Tertullian who lived 160, so 100 years after Jesus and the apostles, and he already was dealing with people that said, you don't have to be baptized to be saved because Abraham wasn't baptized, right? Well, Abraham didn't live under the Christian covenant, right? But people for the last 1,800 years have been using those arguments, so they're not new. But in this video, Don and I watched it, and we said, well, why don't we just do a show where we play their video and we stop it, pause it, and answer what they've just said and explain it. And so that's what Answering the Error is. So we have about 5 episodes. People send us videos and then we respond to those videos. So we contact with, we've done 5 episodes. One was on baptism. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? One is on the doctrine of Calvinism, perseverance of the saints, or you may have heard it called once saved, always saved. We did one on 2 Catholic videos that were sent to us. Confessing your sins to a priest. Do you have to do that? Is it biblical? Why do the Catholics baptize infants? And the last one was on the sinner's prayer. And each one of these episodes, I personally reach out to the person who did the video originally and say, hey, look, we'd like to talk to you. We disagree with some things in your video. We'd like to study with you privately. And a few of them, of all the ones that responded back to me, actually the nicest one was the Catholic Diocese of Illinois. This guy and I had about 15 emails back and forth. He was really nice. So, but most of the people, we reach out and say, hey, we'd like to talk with you. And we haven't gotten responses back from about 3 or 4 of them. So we also have something, I'd say it's kind of a mini-series. It's 10 6-minute episodes that one of our videographers, Tucker Wallace, filmed. Tucker grew up in the Baptist church, and he was in college, started searching on Google for, you know, where is the sinner's prayer in the Bible? What is a denomination? Where do I read about it in Scripture? And couldn't find answers to those, and that led him to searching out, obeying the gospel. I'm waiting for the slide to go. Searching out the truth, obeying the gospel, and then he actually filmed his own. There we go. He actually filmed his own. Flash drive. Yeah. He actually filmed his own conversion story, and I would compare it more to like Muscle and Shovel or Transformed by Lance Mosier. But it's in. It's called Edify and Evangelize. Yeah. And it's basically his conversion story in an hour-long film. So it's on our Instagram, it's on YouTube, et cetera. You can find it. We also have an iPhone app. We have, in the first 24 hours we released it, it was downloaded in about 50 countries. So it's reaching people all over the world. That surprised me when I first heard that statistic. But this is what the app looks like. On the left is what it used to look like. On the right is what it looks like now. We've spent a lot of time trying to make it appealing and organized so you can find content very easily. We have on here, let's see, we have Answer in the Air. We have Books of the Bible. Books of the Bible, if you get asked to teach a Bible class, I remember the first time I got asked to teach, I was terrified, okay? I did not grow up with some, you know, recall of Scripture. But I used to go watch things like this where some other church would put their Bible studies online and I would just watch some other guy teach it and I would type out my notes and I would practice it. And so we have maybe 17 or 18 full studies of full books of the Bible on the app. And the app is just Gospel Broadcasting Network if you're looking for it. This is some more things we have on the app. When the slide changes, you'll see that, well, it's kind of hard for me to explain it to you. But we have just a bunch of different things. We have not only things that you can use for your own study, but also things that you can use to evangelize to other people. So we have a section on the app called Shorts, which is short videos. We've tried to make them kind of attention-getting. Like one of them is, why is there an ark in your backyard? There's some that, what did you do to be saved? They're about 5 minutes long. And we're hoping that you can use those videos and share them with other people. Let's say that we got an email from a guy recently, actually. He's a 17-year-old, and he lives in California. And his school has this Fellowship of Christian Athletes gathering. Well, he's been going to the events and having all of the other people from different churches download the app. And then he's been showing them where all these different videos are. So that's one way that you can help reach out to other people. Give it a second. One of the other things that we've been doing for the last year is reaching out to the Philadelphia area. So there's a tower in Philadelphia. Well, it's not in Philadelphia. It's in central New Jersey. And it pushes the signal out to all the way over to New Jersey and up into Philadelphia. We're working through some things with that. We've tested it out. We've had a limited response from people in that area. We know people are seeing it because the signal's going out. But we also... All right, you've got it. So we've also tried some targeted Facebook advertising. And while we think the signal is working and reaching people, we've actually had more responses whenever we've targeted people through Facebook for less money. So we're working through some of the details of that as well. Okay. All right. That's what the app looks like. So I was speaking a little bit earlier about some of the different videos that you can share with people. So... Okay. All right, so let's talk about Instagram. Instagram, believe it or not, is what I spend a majority of my time at work doing. All right, most people, if they spend a majority of their time at work on Instagram, get fired. But I get to do it, so I'm pretty happy about it. Instagram really allows us to be what I call a digital missionary to about 150 countries, and I'm going to explain why. Instagram, if you don't know what Instagram is, number one, if you don't know what it is, you don't have to get it, okay? I had a lady in Tennessee, she came up to me and she's like, does this mean I have to download Instagram? And I said, no, you do not have to download Instagram, okay? But if you already have Instagram, this is one way that you can use it. So in 2018, I believe it was in June, Instagram crested 1 billion users. So there's 7.7 billion people in the world, and there's about 1 billion of them, according to Instagram, that is actually on. Instagram has profiles and that sort of thing. So it's this idea of posting a photo and then having text under it. That's really a pretty simple way to explain Instagram. All right, now on. Well... There we go. Okay. This is what I use Instagram for years. All right. If you meet me now, sometimes people meet me now and they think, wow, Aaron's always been this evangelistic, you know. No, I wasn't. I was unfaithful to the church in college. I was raised. My dad was an elder. I went to college and basically just quit going to church. You know, if I went home on holidays, I would go to church and everyone thought, oh, Aaron's this faithful college kid. No, I wasn't. I wasn't faithful in college. In my early 20s, I started getting back into it. I started studying more. But this is what I use Instagram for a long time. And that is posting pictures of my food, okay? If any of you are on Instagram, you know that you might be like, oh, but you know you all do it. When I went out to eat, like that middle picture, when I went out to eat with my wife in Richmond, Virginia, I know that if I'm a good Instagram husband, I don't touch the food till my wife gets a picture of it, okay? So that's what I used Instagram for years, if I'm being honest with you. And then I started noticing a lot of other people were using it for evangelistic purposes, but I wouldn't say necessarily good ones. There were a lot of people, it used to be you had to learn a false doctrine enough to teach it to somebody. They had to learn it, teach it to somebody else. Then you got the advent of the computers, and you can copy and paste things. Now people will see a post, they'll hit two buttons and screenshot it and repost it. And so on Instagram, there's a lot of false doctrine that's being spread at a rapid pace. And so I started to say, hey, maybe I should reach out to these people. So I'd reach out to a big page and say, you know, hey, can I send you a copy of Muscle and a Shovel? Hey, can I send you this book I think you'd really like? Well, that led to a couple-year process from my own page to acquiring, I have actually three pages, but these are the two biggest ones, okay? So there was a guy that was running an Instagram page, had about 15,000 followers, and he posted one day he was trying to sell his account. And I was like, can you do that? My dad's an attorney. We looked into it, and Instagram doesn't like it, but it's not illegal. And so we bought that first page, and I started deleting all of his content off of it and reposting truth. So if it was like a psalm and it was actually scripture, I didn't delete it. But if it was something teaching the sinner's prayer, or, you know, just choose whatever church you want, or all religions are the same way to heaven, doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, well, I'd delete that one and start putting truth up. So then that led me to acquiring the second one on the right, which is a female-based page. I have some female members of the church that helped me with posts for that one. And then the one on the left, The Authentic Christian, GBN, I bought that one with my wife. The first two we bought with our money, and then we ran out of money. And so I went to Don at GBN, and they purchased this one, and then Don hired me to run them. So that's basically how I came to GBN. So this is what it looks like. Now, these are all screenshots from my phone. And so now I want to show you what we did and what we do currently on Instagram. So this is what a sample post would look like. Of those 300,000 people that are following, let's see if I can go back. The 300,000 people that are following, The Authentic Christian has about 300,000 followers now. God Heals Girl has about 240, I think, 230,000 people that follow him. Majority of those people are not members of the church. So our goal is to try to just get them to open up this book, open up their Bible, and try to learn the truth. So these are the types of things I'll post. I'll intermix, you know, like a post about Jesus loving you and a psalm maybe at night, but then I'll put posts like this: without baptism you cannot, obey Christ's command, be saved, enter the kingdom. And all these, we just give scriptural references. And all we're trying to do is get them to open up their Bible and look it up for themselves. So over here you can see, this is the caption at the bottom. It says, many churches do not teach what the Bible teaches about salvation and the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. If you have any questions, send us a direct message. Look up the verses for yourselves. All we're trying to do is get people to open up their Bible and look up these passages, just so they have a chance to be honest with it. That's all really we can do as Christians. We can share the gospel with somebody, say this is what the Bible says, but I can't force them to obey it. But I can at least introduce it to them. All right, now I'm going back. Okay, all right. This just shows you how many people see some of these posts. So it has analytics, so I can go in and it's called Insights, and I can see how many people are seeing different posts. And so this, you can see up on the top left, 200,000 people are seeing those posts. On the bottom right over here, you got 127,000. And then these, obviously, it's kind of interesting. I say that jokingly. Whenever you start posting harder teachings, less people like it. If you've read your New Testament, you see Jesus had the same thing. Jesus would teach something and it would say he taught something hard and his disciples would quit following him, right? So whenever we post something like this, less people like it, but we're still getting the truth out. So on the left, the top post in the middle, that's Mark 16:16, 74,000 people saw that. On the right side, the top middle, that's the plan of salvation, 70,000 people saw that. And our goal is to basically use this to facilitate conversations. And so I'll show you some examples of these. Now that's really small text, so I'm going to read it to you. This is one example of what we get pretty much daily. I have a quick question. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as a child. I believe in Jesus. I try to repent for my sins almost every day, praying to God. I was baptized as a child. I was wondering if I have to be baptized again as an adult now that I have a clearer understanding and a stronger relationship with God. So we will say, hey, that's great. We're excited that you want to talk about spiritual things. The Bible does not teach that infants were baptized. And we'll go through and have a personal Bible study with them. This guy, what I always try to do too is I try to find out where they live, all right? So my first initial thing is to find out where you live, try to get an email or a phone, and then I'm trying to find out where you live so I can connect you with a local church. So this case, this guy lived in the Bronx in New York, and so I connected him with a congregation in the Bronx, and then at that point I handed off to the local, you know, eldership or the preacher. So for instance, if I got someone to contact me in San Angelo, I would contact you all, give you the contact information, and then let you run with it, and I'd go back to trying to reach other people in different places. So I got a couple more of these I'll show you. All right. This was a post, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Just posted a picture of it and said, if you have any questions or want to discuss baptism, send me a message, right? So this girl responded and said, hey, if I'm not baptized, will I have bad consequences? All right. And so I said, of course you will. No, that's not how I handled it. All right. We got to learn to be tactful when we're dealing with people. The first thing I responded is, if someone wants to talk to you about a spiritual thing, is that good? Yeah. So the first thing I say is, wow, I'm so thankful that you want to talk about spiritual things. Don't you wish more people wanted to talk about God in this time we live in? And they're always like, well, yeah, of course, it makes them feel good. And they should feel good. They're concerned about what God wants from them. And so then we'll go into and have a personal Bible study with them. Okay. This other one in the middle, I posted just an inside cover of one of my Bibles and said, what did I say? Personal Bible study challenge. Here's a short Bible study. Look up these verses for yourself. Sometimes I'll tag, like, you know, tag three of your friends that you want to study these with, because people seem to actually do it if their friends kind of hold them accountable. And so I got this message. I read through some of this. I was baptized as a baby. I never made the conscious decision, and I want to now. Does the Bible say I need a priest to baptize me? Can I do it myself? What are the Bible's thoughts on this? And you can see our response. What a great question. First of all, good for you for reading through the passages. And then we talk to them about baptism, the history of infant baptism, etc. This was something that I did when I was going to speak in Ironton, Alabama at Cliff Goodwin's congregation. And so I wanted to find out where everybody was from, because Instagram tells me they're from all over the world. But until I actually have proof of that, I'm kind of a little skeptical, which you probably are too, and that's okay. So I posted this. Where are you from? Comment with your country. And I got, by the next morning, I did that at 9 o'clock at night. Well, I think I posted at 5 p.m. But by 7 a.m. the next morning, on Sunday morning, there was 400 comments. So I started working through them, and that's 140 countries. That's supposed to be the next slide. But I want to see if I can... Okay, here's some screenshots. So I don't know if you can see that, but the top middle, you've got Iran. So we're having people that are seeing these posts in Iran. It's a heavily Muslim country. Moldova, Ethiopia, Brazil, India, Pakistan. That's a heavily Muslim country. Iran, Indonesia, Poland, Saudi Arabia, Russia. All of these different places all around the world we're able to reach through my iPhone, which is pretty exciting for me. This is a list of the countries I made that morning. So I basically just started typing them out. 140 countries. I was telling Dennis and Ryan yesterday, I also said, please don't use your flag, because do you know how many flags I know when they're this big? Like one, the American flag, that's it. But tons of people still would comment with their flag. So 140 is what I am sure about. The colors I have, the darker the color is the how heavily populated they are with Muslims. So in the middle, India, Indonesia, Iran at the top, really heavily Muslim populations. Indonesia has, I think, 200 million Muslims. And the number is how dangerous it is to be a Christian. So there's a group called Open Doors that puts out a report every year of the top 50 most dangerous places to be a Christian. And that's the number. So you can see, like, Pakistan's the fifth most dangerous place on earth to be a Christian. So I can reach people through my iPhone that if I went there and got off a plane and tried to go preach on the street, you can probably imagine what would happen. So here's kind of other things I do on Instagram. I'll do a post. Hey, I'm going to talk about baptism. I'm going to do a live video. And then I'll go live. And Instagram deletes your videos after 24 hours, right? So because they really, it's not supposed to be really teaching long, you know, lasting lessons. It's supposed to be, you know, hey, what's up, guys? You know, this is my food. This is my cat. You know, stuff that people think's interesting. Some people do. And it deletes it after 24 hours, all right? Well, what I have to do is do my live video, and then I have to save it and go put it on my YouTube. So that's on my YouTube, but that's what it looks like on the live phone. So you can see people will comment, and I normally get on there and just do live question and answers. That seems to be the thing people like the most. So just get on Instagram, ask me any question, and I try to do my best at answering it. So I want to show you some results of this in the last 15 minutes. This is Chance Howard. Chance lives in downtown Los Angeles. He was watching on Instagram, and he sent me this message. He said, I'm currently living in L.A. Do you know someone that can baptize me? And I said, well, let me connect with you when I get into my office. So, and he said, send me the link to your YouTube page. I always say in the live videos, I'll save all these on my YouTube. So I got in, and we studied for an hour and a half on the phone, and he said, okay, I'm ready. Come baptize me. Right? I'm in Memphis. And I was like, this was my joke to him. So I sent him that text message, right? I took a screenshot of it later. And so I sent it to him and said, hey, let me try to find somebody closer to you so they can baptize you, because I don't want to drive 26 hours or pay for a plane ticket when there's someone else that could do it closer, okay? So I called a guy, Matt Wallen, from House to House, Heart to Heart. Matt connected me with Jonathan Hinckley, who's that preacher up there on the top left. So Jonathan drove to downtown Los Angeles because Chance doesn't have a car. And it's not because he's visiting wrong with him. It's just in L.A. you don't have cars sometimes. He's an actor. And so went down and picked him up, took him back to the building, and baptized him into Christ. Chance then started, he's one of my favorite stories, because he started setting up, like you would set up job interviews, he starts setting up coffee date appointments with all the people from his mega church, like the leader of this mega church in downtown L.A. Chance is having coffee with him, trying to teach him the gospel. And he would call me, he'd be like, Aaron, you're not ever going to believe this. I'm like, what happened? He said, today, I had three Bible studies with three different people, and I showed them they had to be baptized to be saved, and all three of them just said, no, I don't, and they rejected it. He's like, I was shown in the Bible. And I said, Chance, man, yeah, that happens sometimes, right? He couldn't believe that he would show somebody what the Bible said, and they would say, no, that's not what it means. So he started evangelizing as soon as he was converted. And so we still, that was a year and a half ago, he still calls me, and we still study to this day, like once or twice a week. So anyway, Chance says, tell everybody my story on Instagram. So the next day, I told his story on Instagram, and this guy contacted us. This was Jeff. And Jeff says, hey, I want to be baptized. I live in L.A. Jeff is a cosmetic dentist. So now that I know somebody in L.A., Jonathan Hinckley, the preacher that baptized Chance, I got his information. Jonathan gave Jeff's information to Jonathan. Jonathan studied with him and baptized him into Christ, and that's Jeff and Chance together at the congregation. So, this is Cameron. Same thing. He saw a video on Instagram, and he said, I think in this one I said I'd give $1,000 to anybody that could prove to me people in the Bible waited to be baptized. And I was talking about Acts 16, how they went the same hour of the night, Acts 16, 30 through 34. And I said, if you have a church that tells you to wait to be baptized, then call me. I'll find you a different church. And so that's what he said. I know people were baptized immediately in the Bible. I want to do that. And so I asked him where he's from. He said Atlanta. I had a conversation with him, and we connected him to Eric Owens at the Avondale Church of Christ in Decatur. And Cameron went over there, studied with them. The elders made sure he knew what he was doing, and he was baptized as well. This is Gwen on the left. Gwen, I keep trying to get her to send me a better picture, but that's the only picture she'll send me. She lives in Minneapolis. She was on Instagram, saw a video, called me, and we studied for like an hour on the phone, and she went and was baptized at a local congregation. Same story with Gabe on the right. Gabe lives in Montgomery, Alabama. He saw a video, contacted me. We studied on the phone. He cracks me up because he called me and said, no, I don't look like a guy that goes to church. And I said, what do you mean, Gabe? He said, you know, I just don't look like a church. So I called David Hester at the Eastern Meadows Church of Christ. He said, hey, David, you know, just, I don't know what to say, but just be ready. You know, don't be, if Gabe shows up and, you know, he's got, I don't know, just, and David's like, Aaron, doesn't matter what he looks like to us, like, we're going to accept him, right? And so Gabe shows up, and he looks like the most normal individual you've ever met. So I gave Gabe a hard time after that. I called Gabe after he was baptized. He called me, we were talking, and I said, Gabe, you remember how you told me that, like, you didn't look like a church person? He said, yeah. I said, why did you say that? You look so normal. He was like, oh, I don't know. So he was in Montgomery, Alabama, and Gabe's super faithful now. He's got about half his family coming to services there in Montgomery. This is David Render. David is from Ohio. He had been watching Don's videos through World Video Bible School, and he started to realize that he couldn't find the things that were being taught to him at his denominational church in the Bible. So I said, well, let me call you. He said, well, I happen to be in Memphis for work. So we met up, went to my favorite place, Chick-fil-A, and studied at Chick-fil-A, and then he was baptized that night. That's David on the left serving on the Lord's table. He's extremely faithful, lives in Dayton, Ohio, I think that's what I just said. And he's eating up the Bible. He wanted to study the book of Romans with me. So I said, okay, Monday night, let's study. So we studied Romans chapter 1 on Monday night. The next week on Monday night, I said, okay, Romans chapter 2. And he said, no, I already went through the whole World Video Bible School course on Romans. Let's study a different book. He went through like, that's like 18 hours with Wesley Simons on World Video Bible School. I've done the Romans course. He did it in 1 week. So he's pretty dedicated. This is Megan. If you, I don't have enough time to tell you Megan's story, but Megan lives in Sedona, Arizona. She was a Division I soccer player at Oklahoma State University, and she started to get sick, and they don't really know to this day what caused it, whether it's Lyme's disease or she has something called mast cell. But the long and short of it is she can't eat any food. She can't keep food down. So she's slowly basically starving. The only way she can get nutrients is you see in the top right, that's my wife Jamie and I, and that's Megan in the middle. You can see that little clothes hanger on the mantle. That's an IV bag. So you can see in the baptism picture, we had to wrap her arm because she had a PICC line. Her nutrition, she's so malnourished that you can't get a vein into her, an IV into a normal vein. So they have to go through like a PICC line. If you're a nurse, you know what that is. And so they couldn't take it out. So we had to wrap it to baptize her. But it was hard. She couldn't leave her house. We had to wear special clothes. And so it was an ordeal. But Megan had been watching a video on Instagram. And Megan's story is funny. She had come out of Calvinism. She was going to a Reformed Calvinistic church, and she just couldn't believe that God foreordained from the beginning of the world that she was going to have this illness, which is what Calvinism basically taught. And so she couldn't understand it. And so when she saw the video, I was talking about Acts 2:38, and her first message to me was basically, I can't believe I'm not crazy, because she had been reading Acts 2:38, and she said, it's so simple. He said, repent and be baptized. Why are none of these churches teaching that? And so when she saw that we taught that, that's whenever like the light went on for her and she realized it. And then we studied, and my wife and I had to go out there and help with that. So this is Deja. She's from New Jersey. Same thing. Watched an Instagram video, contacted us, contacted her with a local preacher. She was baptized and she worships there with, I can't remember the preacher's name, but wherever he's at. Kenneth Whitley. Kenneth Whitley lives outside of D.C. in Manassas, Virginia. He watched an Instagram video where I said that if you have a church that tells you to sign up to be baptized like once a quarter, then call me. You need to find a new church. And so he called me, and he had just called and signed up to be baptized at Charles Stanley's church in Atlanta. He called them and said, I want to be baptized. And they had said, it was like that week, a couple days earlier than he saw the video, they told him, we'd love to baptize you, but you need to sign up, and you can be baptized next quarter. And he was like, where's that in the Bible? And I said, well, it's nowhere in the Bible. And so we contacted him, and I actually said, well, when do you want to do it? And he said, well, when can we? I said, we can do it today. I said, I bet I can find somebody in the 4 hours we had. It was like 5 p.m. So we found this preacher in Manassas, and they met up, and it was actually Kenny's birthday on that day. So he got baptized on his birthday. So who knows? Who knows if it's God's providence? Perhaps. That's what Paul said in Philemon, and Mordecai said, who knows? So I'll stick with that. But it's pretty incredible. Okay, this is the first time I've actually put this story on my slide because it's so new, but this is Sam on the left. Sam was a member of the church, grew up in the church, stumbled across our Instagram, started watching it. Well, on the right, that's her friend Tyler. They worked out at the same gym together. And so basically Samantha told Tyler, hey, she knew that Tyler was searching, and she said, hey, if you ever want to know more about the Bible, you should follow this Instagram. So Samantha tells Tyler, he starts following on Instagram. He starts asking questions in the live question and answer videos that I do. And then one day he sent me a message, and I said, hey, man, like, why don't we study on the phone, right? So we study on the phone. It was a Saturday. I think we studied for like an hour and a half. I think actually Sam was on the call too. I think all three of us studied on like a conference call. And so then one Sunday, Tyler texted me and said that he got baptized after services. And I messaged Sam. I said, that's so awesome that Tyler got baptized. And she said, he got baptized? So she was mad at him. He didn't tell her. He just went up to the elders and they did it after services. And so she didn't even get to see it. But so the way she evangelized to Tyler is she just showed him, hey, you can use this app. You can ask Bible questions. You can follow this Instagram. And so Tyler is now growing as well. Those are in the U.S. These are a couple. I'm going to have to rush through these because we got 5 minutes left. But this is Indonesia. I got an Instagram message from a guy. He said he lived in Bandung, Indonesia. I didn't have any idea where that was. But I called somebody who called Byron Hatcher, who told me to call his dad Barry. And Barry connected me with a man named Jacob Sasieto in Indonesia. Jacob contacted Deddy, which is that guy in the plaid in the back. And within, I think, 48 hours, Deddy was studying with Christian Alvino. There's the Bible studies, and Christian was baptized into Christ. And so that's in Indonesia. This is Doha, Qatar. It's on the Arabian Peninsula. So let's see. That's Jeff. Jeff Alfonso. And so Jeff and I, he sent us a message. We actually studied through Facebook video chat, and we connected him with the Church of Christ. There is a Church of Christ in Doha, Qatar. They kind of meet secretly. I don't think it's very safe. It's a pretty heavily Muslim country. But this is Stephen Hendricks. And so we found Stephen Hendricks, a couple people removed. He met up and baptized Jeff. And then Jeff shared the gospel with his girlfriend, and she was baptized shortly after that. This is Norway. This is Kvinesdal, Norway. This is one of my favorite stories. Dennis and Ryan got here yesterday. So this is Norway. So I started trying to find, there was a young couple that watched an Instagram video and said, we want to be baptized. So I studied with them through Instagram Messenger and then tried to find somebody to baptize them. I couldn't find anybody. I mean, I couldn't find anybody in the whole country of Norway. It took me like 2 or 3 days. So I told them, just baptize each other till I can find somebody. So they baptized each other. Then somebody said, well, I know somebody who's in Oslo, which is up the top right. They live in Kvinesdal, that highlighted area. So it's a 6-hour trip, right? So I reached out. Finally, I got a hold of a guy, and guess what his name was? His name was Thor. Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I was like, I'm calling this guy. So I called him. And I was like, it was ringing, and I was like, I told my wife, I was like, I'm so excited for this. And he answers, and he was like, hello? And I'm not kidding. And I said, is this Thor? He said, this is Thor. He had the most gentle, that wasn't feminine, it was a man's voice, all right? But it was very gentle, and there was part of me a little bit disappointed, but as I told them yesterday, he was still a member of the Lord's Church, which is more important than what his voice sounds like. So he connected me with people in Stavanger. The people in Stavanger on the left went down and met with them and rebaptized the wife. The husband, I don't know if he's been rebaptized or not, but so we're working with that. But so this is a picture of where they live in the summer. And if you want to go on any short-term mission trips. And this is where they live in the winter. So that's Michael and Henriette, and they have 2 little kids. So they're worshiping at home right now. There's no congregation that they know of within 4 hours. So we've got it pretty lucky here in the U.S. This is in Zimbabwe. The Hwangi, I don't know how you say that, H-W-A-N-G, the National Forest or Park. It's where that lion, Cecil the Lion, got shot a few years ago. but this is Ken Chiwanza. Ken watched a live video. What I took away was hear the gospel, understand it, believe it, repent, and get baptized. I said, that's pretty good. He's got it pretty. So we studied, talked about confession. I said, give me your email and your phone number. He gave it to me. I connected him with a preacher, and he sent me the next day. He sent me, you know, I got to meet with him. I got baptized, party hat, you know, celebratory confetti. And so then these are some more pictures of him meeting with the preacher and being baptized. This is the last one, I think. This is in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. A woman, Patricia Anita, sent me a message on Instagram after a video. I'm called Patricia. I was baptized as a child. I want to be baptized the right way. I live in Malaysia. And I said, okay, what city are you in? KL. I didn't know what that meant, but that means Kuala Lumpur. So I said, what city? What's your email and phone? She gave it to me. I contacted John Moore, who gave me Ong Kim, connected them through email, and basically she studied and was baptized just a few days later. So that's her with the, she's from, originally from Uganda, but that's her with the church there in Malaysia. So the Bible says we're supposed to take the gospel to the whole world, right? The whole creation. I think sometimes we think, well, how are we supposed to do that? We can't reach the whole world. There's 7.7 billion people. And my response would be, is it possible that maybe one day God's going to say, well, why do you think I gave you the internet? I mean, we can reach people 7,000 miles on the opposite end of the earth through something like Instagram or Facebook, right? I highly doubt that on Judgment Day, I'm going to ask the Lord why he invented the internet and he says for us to binge watch Netflix, okay? I don't think that's why we have the internet. Now, there are lots of things we can do on the internet, so if you watch things on Netflix, if that's okay, you could also binge watch GBN. But the Lord's given us tools, and we need to use those tools to reach the world with the gospel. So I think I heard the bell. Thank you so much for your attention. And if you have any questions, I'll be here the rest of the day and I think this evening. So thank you for your attention. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you all. Yeah. Hey, Bob, I'm Aaron.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
In South Haven?
Yes, sir.
Okay. See, I moved. Help join Rick?
Yeah.
See, I moved him down.